All right. Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 4. Tonight we're studying the Beauty and the Beast, or the Wacky Iraqi. King Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, I just want to say this right off the front. King Nebuchadnezzar, after the issue we talked about last week when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace and he saw four people there, it made a huge impression upon him. Not quite enough an impression, but a pretty good impression upon himself. So anyway, I just want to start by saying some history and background of Daniel. The first six chapters that we're going to be going through, they're all historical things that happened right after another. Daniel was deported as a teenager. Nebuchadnezzar had his first dream. We went through the Bower Burn thing last week. Today we're going to be looking at Pride Goes Before the Fall. The next time, 2 weeks from tonight, because next Wednesday is the Fall Festival. Two Wednesdays from tonight is the Fall of Babylon and then the Lion's Den. Okay. Chapters 2 through 7 were actually originally written in Aramaic, and it was intended as a word to the Gentiles. So God was already speaking, even before Jesus came, to other people, and he was encouraging people to praise God. So with that in mind, we're going to read this now. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nation, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream, and it made me afraid. And as I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men in Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods that is in him. And I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here's my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. And under the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there was before me a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. And he called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and the roots bound with iron and bronze remain in the ground in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass by for him. The decision was announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. When Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts alarmed him, so the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries, the tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has known until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, the Holy One, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like a wild animal until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High God has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from the people. You will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. You'll be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump in the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? The words were still on his lips when a voice came to him from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from the people. You will live like wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. And immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from the people. He ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with dew of the heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. And then I praised the Most High, and I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, what have I done? At that time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne, and I became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything He does is right, and all His ways are just, and those who walk in pride He is able to humble. Woo-hoo! Pretty good, huh? What does that go up to? That'll take us to chapter 5 next time, okay? I read the whole chapter 4. That was pretty fast, wasn't it? All right, anyway. So, scene 1. He receives this dream. Now, you think about it. This is the second dream he's had that he can't figure out what it means. Now, I know that God can speak in any way. I know that He can speak through dreams. I know that He can come straight to you and speak to you. He can speak to you through His Word. He speaks to people a lot of different ways. But He chose to speak to Nebuchadnezzar through these dreams that he couldn't comprehend. And he had to get some help to figure out what they meant. So this was his second dream. He said, I was contented and prosperous. Now think about that. When you think you've got it all, you find out you don't have anything. Right? Because if you think you got all the money you need, if you think you're just happy and nothing else can touch you, and that, you know, you start thinking, hey, this is all about me. This is the same man who, by the way, in the passage right before that, had just praised God. So he's praising God, but then he starts talking about how great he is and how prosperous he is and how he's built up the nation and how all the other nations are bowing before him. And hey, it's all about me, 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 me. Even after he just praised God. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, I like how it says this. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and then with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. You know why? Because it shows that person is a double-minded person. Unstable in all their ways, as Scripture tells us. And Nebuchadnezzar, although he believed in this God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, or Belteshazzar, his Babylonian name, although he believed in this God, he was not yet willing to turn himself over to this God. So he begins, with this dream, he starts laying it out for this. And so he tried all his wise men, and they couldn't interpret it. And then he remembers Daniel. And so he comes to Daniel, and he tells him about this huge, beautiful tree, and about a messenger, a holy one, proclaiming something. It was probably Gabriel, because he is the proclaiming archangel. And he starts talking about this. And then the tree Babylon, Daniel says, will be cut down, and the king, who is Nebuchadnezzar, will also fall. And there in chapter 5, verse 15, it changes from it to him. A change of mind for 7 years. So think about this. For 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar was changed into the wacky Iraqi. He didn't know any. I mean, he was goofball. He just out there eating grass and, you know, like living like an animal. And it's interesting, by the way, the decision announced by messengers or angels, the holy ones, declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. I think that's an interesting passage, by the way, because not only in this passage, through this dream, is God saying, I'm in charge, and my messengers, my angels, are coming to proclaim that. He does that again later on when his angels come to proclaim the newborn king. The newborn king. Okay? God is sovereign. He's in control. He's powerful. He has all power. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what is, you know, in every situation, he's in control. And then in verse 18 it says, this is the dream that I, Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means. The Spirit of the Holy God lives in you, Daniel, Belteshazzar. And then he calls him the Spirit, or he says that you have the Spirit of the Holy Gods in you. And you might think, oh, okay, he's not really talking about God then, because he, the Spirit of the Holy Gods, that's plural. But literally, what it's translated is from the word Elohim, which is God in three persons. Okay? And so, he is talking about the literal God, Elohim. Alright, so then that's scene one. Scene two starts up. This dream is revealed. And first of all, Daniel's silent because he realizes that if I tell him what this dream really means, he could take it out on me. Right? He was greatly perplexed for a time. He didn't want to share this with the king who was known for his terrible temper. And so I'm sure he was probably thinking, you know, is there another way that we can let him know about this while I'm like off on a trip somewhere or something? But the interpreter speaks in verses 19 through 27. He says, first of all, just know this, Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom's great, but you will be cut down. This large tree that's symbolizing your kingdom, it's going to fall. You'll be cut down. There will be a stump left with iron and bronze. By the way, that was the bottom of the statue, if you remember that. Babylon, though, will not yet die. He says, not yet die. There will be a day that Babylon dies. But you're going to live like an animal. The interpreter goes on and says, accept my advice. Listen to me, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm giving you some counsel. If you'll repent, who knows what God will do? If you'll say, oh, holy God, I have led this nation away from you, and I'm sorry, and I repent, and I want to change, and I want to follow you, and I want to give you praise all the days of my life. If something like that were to come from you, change the way you're living and the way that you're ruling your kingdom, God will reward you. Daniel's telling him, man, you don't have to live like an animal for 7 years and lose your mind. But as we see, Nebuchadnezzar decides after a year of waiting to see if anything's going to happen. It says in verse 29, 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon. In other words, when he's up there getting the view of everything. I mean, it was the highest place in Babylon. And by the way, just a little side note, this is during the time when Nebuchadnezzar built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which is one of the seven great wonders of the world. And it's, I mean, he was magnificent. And he knew it. And he thought about it. And it was all about him. A year had passed. So he's walking on the roof and he's looking at all these. Is this not the great Babylon, was he saying, that I've built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? So basically, he's beginning to mock God. A year had passed. That dream must not have meant anything. I'm more powerful than ever. I have built my mighty power for the glory of my majesty. By the way, God will not share his glory. He's on the roof looking down. And David was in the same position, by the way, when he fell. He was on the roof looking down and he saw Bathsheba. You see, when we think we've arrived, we better watch out because we're not there. All right? Look at what 1 Peter says. Chapter 5, verse 5. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. I want you to know something. The word oppose there literally means that you put yourself on the opposite side of God. When you're full of pride, it's there's God and I'm on the other team. I don't know about you guys, but I know what team wins. And I know which team has more power than the other team. But when I choose to have pride in my life, I've chosen the wrong team. And I've put myself in opposition to God. Proverbs chapter 16 basically says the same thing. Verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, he was looking this over and he's thinking, man, I am the best. Nobody's like me. But there came then, in verses 31 through 33, a monarch metamorphosis. I got crazy on these words tonight, sorry. Wacky Iraqi and monarch metamorphosis and stuff. But I want you to see what it says here. Verse 31. It says, the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what's decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, by the way, if you hear a voice from heaven, you better know that something's happening. Judgment is always being spoken. We'll hear a voice one of these days, too. He says, this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. I can just imagine, as proud as he was feeling, he all of a sudden went, whoa. This ain't good. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You're going to be driven away from the people. You're going to live with the wild animals. You're going to eat grass like a cow. And 7 years will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. And immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. And he was driven away from the people, and he ate grass like cows, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Immediately, he was changed. He lost his mind. He went crazy. He ran out into the wilderness. This was an incredible Hulk moment where King Nebuchadnezzar became the wacky Iraqi. The beauty became the beast. He lived like an animal, totally insane, 7 years without bathing, cutting his toenails or his fingernails. His life was out of control. Now, think about it, folks. If anybody had seen him in that respect, they would have never realized who he was. Totally different. Totally changed. I mean, you can imagine, up until this point, he had his hair groomed every day. He had his fingernails clipped. He had everything was always done for him. 7 years to figure this out. I think God made him be crazy for that long so he could realize how bad it was. But then it says, after those 7 years, verse 34, says, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven. It took him 7 years to figure this out. Okay? He wasn't the sharpest tool, you know? Okay? He was one French fry short of a Happy Meal. I'll just put it that. Okay, so anyway. He said, I raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High and I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. He came to his senses. The scripture says he came to his senses. He realized to look up. You remember the same thing happened to the prodigal son? He was in the pig pen and he was so hungry he wanted to eat the pig slop. He thought if I could just eat some of that, I'd be okay. And then the Bible says he came to his senses. And he thought, what am I doing in my father's house? Even my servants have plenty to eat. I'll just go back and be a servant. Beautiful picture there, by the way. That's what God's looking for all of us to be, a servant. And God will always provide for us. And so he came to his senses. He thought, man, I know that God is greater than me. I've experienced the bottom. His praise was not for himself any longer, but to the Most High. And oh, by the way, when you look at the time frame that all this was happening, Babylon had gone from the greatest nation at that point in the earth to hardly making it. But when you see what happens after this, Babylon then rises again quickly, and God blesses them again. Because the king is now not talking about the king, he's talking about the king. And he's following him, and he's giving him praise. So here's some lessons for us to learn from this chapter about the wacky Iraqi. Worldly success never satisfies. I mean, you can be the best at your job. You can have a nest egg that you think will never run out. You can drive the best cars. You can do all the kinds of stuff that you think is important. But that's all going to fade away. And it'll never satisfy you. Secondly is, God will use whatever it takes to get your attention. You better pray that He has your attention now, because if He doesn't, He's going to use something pretty drastic to get your attention. And God always warns us before He acts. He's not a God up there looking down at us going like, man, I can't wait till they mess up. Then I'm going to get them. No. He's looking as a Heavenly Father down on His children going, oh, please turn to me. Please ask me. Please come to me. Please acknowledge me. If you'll humble yourself, pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and heal your land. These are lessons that we can always remember, because as great as it seems, and by the way, there's no better example than some guy, we don't even know who he is yet, in South Carolina, who won the biggest lottery ever, $906 million. He went probably from some worker to one of the richest men in America overnight because he bought a lottery ticket. But I can tell you this, He can still have all that money and miss the best thing ever. Miss the best thing ever. Yeah. Absolutely. The success is not going to satisfy him. He can buy all the houses he wants and all the boats he wants and all the things that you think are going to make you happy. And those things are fun, but not make you happy. I mean, there's always going to be that hole inside that cannot be filled up by the things of this world. God's going to use whatever it takes to get people's attention. Now, let me tell you this, folks. I believe God loves every person in this world, and I believe God died for every person in this world, and I believe He's trying to get every person in this world's attention, and so He's going to use whatever it takes. And it may be you, not be me. It might be a situation that you can come in to and help them through. Whatever it is, God is trying to get the attention of people in this world. And God always warns before He acts, because that's the kind of God He is.